top of the table, that's exciting. Bottom of the table, that's exciting. Like, that's the sort of football that you want to be. And these are the pressure games that in 15, 20 years' time, I will look back on and I will remember these are the important matches for me, not the middle of the table teams.
Subscribe to the Koi Gig podcast stream on the OTB Sports app now.
OTB AM. With Gillette, put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
Champions League returns tonight. Paris Saint-Germain at home to Real Madrid at 8 o'clock and then Sporting Lisbon at home to Manchester City. The other fixtures this week, RB Salzburg are at home to Bayern Munich tomorrow night and Inter Milan at home to Liverpool also tomorrow night. And then you've got the likes of Manchester United and Chelsea in action next week. So four games to look forward to this week. No away goals, Kenny. So these legs, I guess... Slightly more important than they usually are. I don't know. This kind of dampens the expectation a little bit, doesn't it? Away goals are great.
I must admit, I think it's an argument both sides. But I would have left it as it is. I've got to be honest with you, because I just think that adds another element to the excitement level potentially when that kind of second leg kind of comes around and you get into the meat of the game. You know, getting to that second half, second leg, you know what I mean? And that one eye on that all-important away goal and the effect it can kind of have on the game, gets into the kind of mentality of the players as well. Does it affect tactically in terms of managers, how they're setting up and all those type of things? So for me, it was always interesting. I was always fascinated with it. It just gave the whole thing a new dimension. I know people would argue, oh, it encourages people not to come out and play. Does it encourage people? All these type of arguments you could argue around the houses, I suppose. But yeah, I must admit, when it was taken out, my initial reaction was, we're just maybe just sanitising things a little bit too much, maybe. Like, I just thought it was distinctive, in terms of the way it goes. It was like, and yeah, I suppose you could argue this is ridiculous. It really, when you think about it, kind of logically, if you bring the whole, logic manual down, on top of it, maybe so. Yeah, but I quite enjoyed it, to be honest with you. I thought it was a nice little ingredient.
It was different for sure. Yeah. We've got David Myler with us. David, how are you getting on?
Good morning, lads.
Good to have you back in the show. Does this change the dynamic then? Tonight, tomorrow night, these first legs that we may see these away teams going for it just that little bit more?
Oh, definitely. I agree with Kenny. I think, the away goal brought some magic. I believe, though, the biggest problem for me with it was when it went into extra time, if a team then scored, they hadn't changed that. But it does lose that little bit of spark. Like, if you're away first, you kind of look to, be solid, not concede, and then at home you look to push on. It used to be always that big team's kind of home advantage in the first leg was huge. But certainly, you expect probably teams to be a bit more open and play a bit more football.
I was going to say on there, me and David probably wouldn't be... All right, David, how's it going?
You all right, Kenny?
Yeah, I'm twisted up here with my headphones. Sorry I didn't acknowledge you when you first came on. I didn't... I suppose me and David, I was going to say, just to talk us both down, David, we can't lean on too much... Paris experience here, me and Dave, when it comes to Champions League football, home and away, and the away goals real. I might be wrong, David, unless I'm misrepresenting you here in terms of your career. You didn't nick one of those Champions League places with Hull, did you?
We got Europa League when we lost the FA Cup final against Arsenal.
I can trump that Anglo-Italian when I was at Millwall in my early days. The Anglo-Italian competition, which has long been forgotten, way before your time, David, I experienced a little bit of a European competition. It didn't last too long, to be honest, which the competition was kind of skiboshed because there was murders going on. There was players fighting up the tunnels and there was all sorts going on. Like, it's probably the wrong time for the competition to emerge. But yeah, that was my only... That was my only sampler.
What was that competition called? Sorry, David.
Anglo-Italian.
Oh, that was the literal name of it. Yeah. Go for it, David.
No, you know what, Kenny? Who do we play? FC Lochran from Belgium.
Yeah.
And we drew away in the first game and we came back, obviously, to Hull and played them. And we drew, it was 1-1 at home and we got knocked out in away goals. We missed a couple of great chances at the end.
So too conservative when you went out, too conservative...
Well,
you were meant to be an attacking midfield player. You were meant to be the one nicking the away goals here. What was going on?
There was none of that, no. we were all fresh out of water. We had a couple of Spurs boys who played Champions League, but the rest of us hadn't experienced, you know, the lights of European football. So we were a bit nervous.
Does it feel different when you're out there, David? Does it feel like, right, this is a bit bigger?
Yeah, it does. No, definitely. Because obviously at the same time when we were playing away, we were like, if we can, you know, nick a goal, obviously it's massive being an away goal. We knew that. But we were solid. Obviously, if we'd managed to get through the tie, we got into the group stage, which had been enormous for the club and us as players at the time. You know, we probably didn't perform particularly well in the first half, got going in the second half, created a couple of half chances, and then Robbie Brady had a great chance. Obviously, you draw there away, and then you come back and you're thinking, we need to win the game and we have to try not to concede. And obviously, with them scoring, if we threw the kitchen sink at it in the last 15, 20 minutes, we just couldn't get the ball over the line. And then we got knocked out, you know, threw away goals, which was obviously heartbreaking. So, like, have that experience of playing in the Europa League group stage would have been, you know, incredible. But it wasn't to be, lads.
I can't believe you shoved Robbie Brady under the bus there, to be honest with you. He had a sitter that he missed in the away leg. Cost us the whole toy.
Do you know what it's like? I'll go one more. Tom Huddleston missed two great chances in the home leg. Albeit one was cleared off the line, but someone with his ability, he's striking the ball, you'd expect him to score. But
he's done it again. I thought he was going to give him a dig out. He's pushed him back under the bus. He's pulled him out from under the bus and then he's thrown him back under again.
Hey, unbelievable. You know what it's like in this media world. You have to be honest. Can't beat around the bush and protect people.
Oh dear, it's harsh.
It's a decent Hull team, just looking at it here. Harry Maguire was there as well, obviously. So I haven't.
Are we going down that road now? Are we going to move on to United and go down the Harry road?
Let's stick on the Hull.
This is Hull version of Harry
superstar. Maguire. You're right. Oh, a lot of superstar, a lot of big egos in that dressing room when David was there. You're absolutely
do you know
right.
What, do you know what,
present company
do you know what,
included or excluded. I don't know whether you'd exclude the company or include it. High wages, you definitely include David in that. Absolutely.
But going back to that time, though, obviously we had Andy Robertson, Harry Maguire, whatever. Yeah. They were young lads. Like, Harry didn't speak much. Robbo certainly didn't speak for the opening 4 months. And kind of the bubbly character you see now at Liverpool, he was like, he came out of his shell after about 5 months. But they didn't speak a lot in the early days. There was no egos in that change room. We were just a great bunch of lads. We were very fortunate. I know, Kenny, you'll see the same throughout your career. You kind of are in a changing room, and I still speak to the majority of lads today, and they all miss that changing room because we ironed out a lot of problems ourselves. It was only when it became a serious incident or serious matter that the manager got involved. But, you know, we policed our own changing room, and I'm very fortunate with that changing room around the 14, 15, 16 seasons with great lads who, you know, knew what was right, and we punished lads who stepped out of order if they were late, if they weren't pulling up in training, weren't pulling themselves up in games. We did it all ourselves.
What about players who spend too much time on their video games rather than being on the training pitch, walking on their game? Did they get pulled up? Those players are.
No, Kenny, I never.
Their back cave wouldn't come out, their back cave.
I never missed training for video games. I only ever played my downtime.
Are you good at Pac-Man, David? I mean, in all these modern games, obviously you're up there, you're kind of second in the world or wherever you are, but you know the old school games, Pac-Man and Space Invaders. How are you on the Space Invaders? That's what I'm more interested
in. Well, technology has advanced since the early 90s, Kenny. I do like Pac-Man. I haven't played much of Space Invaders. But at the same time, you know yourself, the culture when you first grew up, a lot of lads were out drinking, gambling, all that. A lot of our lads played video games and kept us away from that side of it. So
had a drink. You know, had a drink while you're playing video games and had a bet on the video game who was going to win. Just because you went in the bookies, David. Just because you went in the bookies. David, do you mind me asking you? Sorry, Owen. It's interesting there. We were talking about Harry Maguire actually at the start of the show. I don't know if you were listening. You probably weren't. Probably had no interest in listening to the show before you came on. But what do you think his position there at the moment? We were just talking about him. I think he's a bit of a sticky wicket there, to be honest with you. You'll know his quality's better than me in terms of, you know, we're speaking about how dominant he is in terms of the air. Lovely footballer, reads the game well. But just where he's compromised a little bit, David, in terms of his athleticism, you know, his kind of mobility, that kind of speed which he has, which has been getting more exposed, I suppose, over the last year. And he seems to be surfing a little bit in terms of confidence. I look at him at the moment, I think new manager coming in, it might be the case where he might get shown the door. That might seem a little bit harsh, but in terms of kind of rejuvenating the squad, particularly a club like Manchester United, you look at the type of centre-halves which you need, the modern-day centre-half, in terms of, you know what I'm talking about, that athlete, quick over the ground, good in 1v1 situations, that real kind of, you know, athleticism about them. Maguire, he's not in that mould, is he? He's kind of a little bit of a throwback. How do you see him in terms of his Manchester United career? Do you think he'll be there in the medium to long term? How do you see it?
Well, to start with, I was reading an article that Ragnick did. It must have been an interview or whatever. And he said he's not going to, you know, obviously strip on the captaincy. I think United have invested a lot of money in him. I obviously think he's well liked within the club. With the higher ups, obviously, you know, the previous managers going back to Solskjaer, I think they all think an awful lot of him. Look, if you look at Harry throughout his career, he's never been blessed with pace. Like, I'm not saying he's slow, but he's never been blessed with that, you know, electric pace that could get him out of danger. You look at someone like Van Dijk, he never gets done with pace.
I think
with Harry is, Harry, look, Kenny, you played there. I think Harry, he does have a good read of the game, but at the moment, I don't know what it is with him.
Confidence, seems to be, David, maybe.
Confidence is certainly a big one. You even look at his, like, I've been thinking long and hard about this. If you look at his performance throughout the Euros, certainly, like, the partnership say he had another play. England played it back three at times, which would suit him massively. But definitely, he is all over the place. There's no two ways about it. He's taking far too many touches on the ball. His positioning is poor. He's getting caught out. It's a lot of basic stuff, Kenny, that he's doing wrong. And that must come down to confidence. Obviously, with United going through the tough time, they're going through. Certainly, they've got a lot of big characters there. He's meant to be the captain. He's meant to lead. I know a lot of people are quick to point out maybe Bruno or Cristiano would be better suited. But then I kind of look at, example I would look at would be, say, Liverpool, with the type of character like Henderson is, that he's not a superstar, but yet he's able to lead them and he's able to be the captain of them. And they all look to him for that kind of inspiration, if you look at, you know, at their game. So I don't see why Harry can't be captain of that team. But certainly at the moment, he needs to go back to the drawing board and kind of like sit down. You know, he's taken far too many touches on the ball. He doesn't move quick enough. All those kind of stuff. And kind of, you know, we have that old saying in football, go back to the basics, where United need to start keeping clean sheets. Like, you look at the last few games they played where they go ahead at half time and then they end up conceding and they can't kick on. Like, they have to, we're all in favour this day and age of, you know, this open modern football where you play up from the back. It's kind of the Pep Guardiola model that's coming over the last 5-6 years, that there's nothing wrong with being solid and giving up, you know, giving up possession and, you know, getting into it, you know, your two banks of four, you know, with your 10 dropping back in probably to make it a 5 in midfield, where you actually say to the team, try and break us down and we'll catch you on the counter-attack. United play this kind of open, expansive stuff, which is just doesn't suit them. You know, Ragnick's come in, he's trying to do this high pressure. We've seen with the Burnley games, a prime example, first half, they're moving the ball quickly, they're creating chances, they're going after teams. But they just leave themselves so exposed, so open. And at the moment, with confidence levels, they just can't see a game through for 90 minutes.
Yeah, so this is the thing, David. So you're right in terms of that kind of high press, Ranić, but that'd be similar for a lot of managers now in the modern game, isn't it? In terms of that high press, get the whole team up the pitch, get your two central defenders up to the halfway line. But of course, you'll know what you're saying there is when you get the whole team into the opposition half and you go high pressing and you commit, to a large extent, you're going to detach your fullbacks from your centre half. You're going to have to send your fullbacks a little bit higher up the pitch if you're going to really commit to that kind of full press. So that kind of isolates your two centre halves, doesn't it, with a lot of space in behind, even with the kind of sweeper keeper with a high starting position. So this is it. This is the problem there is here with Maguire, isn't it, in terms of that lack of mobility. Managers will look at him and think, have I got confidence in my left sided centre half to defend his area of the pitch when we're high pressing and teams are going to drop that ball in behind or down the sides of our defenders? Has he got that speed of foot and that kind of athleticism to go and defend his area of the pitch? I'm not too sure he does. So let me ask you this, you're the new Manchester United manager, you're rolling there in the summer. Do you keep Maguire and you build your team around him going forward, or do you cut your losses and get him out the door and go and reinvest?
I would keep with them. I would stick with them. I definitely think he's enough. Okay, he's had a tough season so far this year. I think he's got enough credit in the bank with United, and certainly what he's done in the past, that he can, you know, he can come through it and play. I think Rafa Varane is an ideal partner for him, certainly with his pace and his experience. Like as you said there, it might be something that they need to alter. I know we talk about these, you know, attacking fullbacks. You know, certainly with, you know, you'd have Luke Shaw or Telles playing on his side. Can you find a way that if we're attacking on the right side, that the left full doesn't push on too far, whatever, that you can give that added bit of cover to him? But it's also, look, when you step into that, you have to obviously look at your strengths and weaknesses, and that is a massive weakness for United. You know, when they push up, if the line is going over, you know, the back four line is going over the halfway line, do you then drop that line 5 yards? Yes, you then create that, you know, disconnect between the midfield and the front three, that the gaps in between for the 10 is probably, the opposition 10 would be a lot bigger. But at the same time, then you're keeping the play in front of you. As you well know, if the ball is in front of you, you're doing your job. It's when you're running back towards your own goal is the problem. And that's where United are struggling. So it could be like a little altercation of, you know, certainly the back four's line. Could we not go as high? Seeing that even as myself as a Liverpool fan, you look at Liverpool playing Burnley the other day, the amount of times Burnley are getting in because of Liverpool's high line. Now, on another day, Burnley will punish Liverpool and they'll score 3 or 4 goals. But at the same time, Alisson makes some saves. And I know De Gea has had an incredible year. But can you alter that?
Yeah, that's the risk and reward in the modern game, yeah, isn't it? That's what managers have to kind of...
But do you not feel, Kenny, though, there is this perception now that teams have to play a particular way? Like everybody's kind of gone after... Like Jurgen is a master at it. Jurgen's a master at it, what he did with Dortmund, what he's done at Liverpool over time, that he's been able to get Liverpool's front three to press the midfield. Like they're all workhorses. Certainly with Man City, you've seen that with Pep, with, you know, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, and now with Manchester City, that they play this possession dominant football. But once they turn over possession, they have this thing, you know, that 4, 5, 6 seconds, they have to get the ball back. I think they're shaping the Premier League in terms of then everybody else. I'm going to say, when I say everybody else, I mean the kind of top six sides who are pushing for top four, trying to compete with those two teams, that they're kind of following in that. You look at United, obviously appointing Rangnick, who they say is the master of this, and, you know, he was the one who's educated so many different managers, and Tuchel and those who've, you know, learned from him. But I don't think United have the personnel for it. I don't think those players have been shaped that way. You look back really deep and hard against Sir Alex's teams, United weren't as much as a dominant team. They were exceptional on the counter-attack. You know, certainly in the 08-09, you know, where you've Rooney, Ronaldo, Tevez, in terms of the speed they broke at and the players, that suits United more, and they're the personnel they have. I don't think United are cut out to, you know, dominate a team as much as, say, Manchester City.
Yeah, I don't think Manchester United are cut out to defend, full stop. I take the point from what you're saying there, Dave, but just the basic fundamentals in terms of defending. We're talking about Maguire, the kind of protection that he's getting, and immediately you look to his, we spoke about it already, on his right side of centre-half and his left back over that side of the pitch in terms of kind of giving him a dig out. But what we haven't spoke about in terms of what's happening in front of him, that kind of defensive shield in front of him, Dave, that kind of central midfield position, which you'd know very well, and I know very well from being a centre-half, and I was a centre-half who couldn't run either, probably even slower than Harry Maguire. So I was very dependent on getting that kind of support around me. So what was very important to me was that I knew that space 10-15 yards in front of me, to a large extent, I didn't have to worry about, because I'd have two centre midfielders who'd stay in contact with me, who'd kind of shield any balls into the centre forwards' feet, block off passes, and if a pass didn't get around the corner, they'd immediately recover, and they'd be getting in contact with the centre forward. That was huge, David, for me, because then I knew I could really concentrate in terms of what was going on in behind, balls in behind. I could adjust my starting position. I could take a couple of steps backwards and give myself an even bigger starting position on the centre forward if a ball was played in behind, because I knew that space in front of me was secure because of the positional sense and the defensive qualities of the two central midfielders. Now, if we start talking about the defensive qualities of the Manchester United central midfield, I can't even start the conversation, to be honest with you, because there isn't one player there in that Manchester United squad I can hang my hat on as a central midfielder and say I trust him.
Right.
He can defend. He understands the art to defend in that central midfield area, and I can trust him. Not Fred, not McTominay, and I like McTominay. He's got some good qualities, but for me, he's an attacking midfield player. All his qualities are when he's ahead of the ball and heading towards the opposition goal. Matic's legs have gone. I don't know where the answer is. I mean, so it's a combination of things. I think you're absolutely right in terms of the qualities of those Manchester United players in all areas of the pitch, centre-half, centre-midfield. The balance seems to be totally wrong at the moment. And the individual qualities of players, particularly that central midfield area, Dave, you must have seen it now. It seems like we've been talking about it for like...
All last window. All of last window.
6 years, yeah. I'd say we've been talking about it. I literally can't. We probably have to go back to... You're talking about Tevez there, David, and Ronaldo. I'd probably have to go back. I'm talking Nicky Butt. I'm talking here. I'm thinking Roy in that central area of the pitch. Phil Neville, to be fair to him, when he went in. These players who understand the role, what was required of them, showed a bit of defensive discipline. You're talking about Liverpool and the qualities they have, but Liverpool and central midfield have players who know how to defend. Fabinho. Now, Fabinho's not the greatest athlete in the world, but he's smart. And he understands the position. He knows where to position himself. Henderson's a beast in and out of possession. You don't carry Henderson when you haven't got the ball. He rats around the place. He makes tackles. He tracks runners. They can play that high intensity game. Just Manchester United at the moment don't have those qualities in central midfield. So we're talking about kind of Harry Maguire. It's interesting because David's played with him. But you play central midfield, David. I mean, you've got to have at least one player in that central area of the pitch where you know where your commit players high up the pitch. You look over your shoulder. As a centre-half, I'm looking at centre midfield. Well, thank God he's there. I can trust him. He'll sniff out danger. He'll make interceptions. He'll hold people up. He'll make good decisions. You know, he'll give us that real defensive axis. Who's that player in the Manchester United squad at the moment, David, who gives you that?
None of them. you've hit the nail on the head there, Kenny. There's none of them. Obviously, I'm a big fan of McTominay, but I don't think he understands his defensive roles. I agree with you. He's probably better as kind of an eight that gets up and down, kind of pick up those positions every now and then. But he's better coming onto the game and coming onto the ball. We've seen that in, you know, prime example of performance where he's gotten goals. Fred is a luxury six. He doesn't do the nitty gritty stuff. Stuff you're talking about, where you're screening, you know, the attacker, you're blocking those passing lanes, you're stopping balls getting in, so you might get a touch on him. You're causing, you know, upset the opposition's build up. Matic, he's really disappointed me. Huge fan of Matic all the way through. You know, at Chelsea, I thought it was going to be an exceptional signing for United, but I agree with you. His legs are gone. He's not as mobile anymore. It's one of those. That six player is crucial, and I don't think people realise that. You know, it's only come to the forefront with United now, but all the best centre halves, if you look at them, they always spoke for 90 minutes to the six. And I remember my time playing as a six, whether it be, you know, with Sunderland, Hull, whatever, with Ireland, always had the centre half barking at you, and you're thinking like, will you ever leave me alone? But they're putting you in a position that protects them. And it actually helps you because you're getting organised and you're screening passing lanes. You know where the opposition player is. You're picking up their 10. You're picking up the 9 if he drops in. Mm. But it makes their job easier and you add that bit of protection. But it also helps you. Like I can imagine, Kenny, you were barking orders the whole way throughout your career because you're stopping that, you know, supply line of the ball getting through. And United don't have that. They don't have that player who can sit in there. There's probably a case as well where we spoke about Harry's confidence. That, you know, he's probably not barking orders at Fred McTominay, or if he is, they might not be listening to him. You have to call a spade a spade. They might not respect that. They're probably looking, I need to concentrate on my own performance or whatever. Like, it's been a huge problem going all the way back where we spoke about Pogba. Could Pogba play in the six? But we again highlight, you know, his defensive qualities. He doesn't do enough work, you know, out of possession. The biggest thing, if United are serious about, you know, remounting the challenge for the title or pushing, you know, getting up to Liverpool and Manchester City's level, they're probably going to have to go and spend whatever it's going to be, 100, 125 million on probably
David, who would he be? Your Manchester United manager again. Who's your first signing in that position? That number six that we're talking about, those qualities. Who's out there? Who would you go and grab?
I think you have to go after Declan Rice. I think Declan Rice is the one. I think, you know, obviously his level of performances. Obviously Declan knows. He's also kind of doing a bit too, like, well, I'm not going to say a bit too much, but he's doing a bit of everything. We've seen there in the FA Cup, you know, getting forward, getting goals. He's trying to add that to his game. which is nothing wrong with a six, you know, chipping in with a few goals here and there, depending on opposition. But definitely think he has, you got to remember, Declan Rice played as a centre-half for a large period of his underage career. So I think he understands that position. And now he's stepped into the fold of his six. And if you see it as, you know, in his performances of his early days at West Ham, he was very defensive-minded. You could see he was a centre-half kind of filling in as a six. And I think over the last probably 2 years, he's really kicked on and he understands the role. But he understands the role of both. And I think he would be... Look, I think he's the ideal signing for United to kind of slot in there. Then that allows like Bruno to kick on more and do even more in that, you know, creative aspect.
Yeah,
there's also Kenny. There's also that one is from my understanding of the position. When you play with the one, you know, say 1-6, or you play with 2-6s. The 1-6, when he's on his own, he looks to shield the entire back four, right? So he's trying, obviously, to control the two centre-halves. He's going to slot into wide areas. Your full-backs go forward. He can tuck in and cover that position. Like when you have two, you kind of divide the pitch in half. Mm-hmm. That the left side of the six will cover the left-hand side. Now, that could be a very dangerous game to play if players don't understand the situations. I've had it in my own time where I've been slotted in with a new midfield partner and you're kind of crossing lines. The distances between you are too big. You know, then at times you're on top of one another and, you know, the space is out wide. Maybe United need to go and sign that six who plays as an out and right six, who just controls the entire back line. His job is not to get forward. It is just to stay there, win the ball and give it to, in arguably inverted commas, the better players who will go and, you know, create some magic, who will go and create chances.
Yeah.
Like if you look at it, if they were to sign Declan Rice and he plays as the six and then you put Pogba and say Bruno in front of him and you say, look, like Declan's obviously a confident young boy. He'd probably go, do you know what? I'll do this and then I'll give the ball to you and you go and create the magic. You go create goals, score goals, whatever you want to do. But I know my role and I ain't moving from here. And then you almost form that little triangle between the two centre-halves and the six that the six then can cover into wide areas when the full backs get forward. Like Kenny, I've spoken to you several times over the years about if you look at when Henderson
plays. I haven't spoken
to
the last couple of years. You haven't picked up the phone to see how it was. I know that. It's not even a little bloody text, what's up message. How's things with you? All good. Family well.
But if you
nothing.
Look, if,
absolutely if you nothing. Look at, no, I'm giving it all that. Like me mate, yeah, we've spoken a lot over the years.
Yes. But okay, here, let me finish, right? But if you look at, I go back to Liverpool because I watch an awful lot of Liverpool.
Have you not
right?
got a signal on that back over yours? Have you not got a signal
no,
there
I don't,
your phone?
No, I don't.
You
no,
can't, you can't make outgoing calls or anything. No.
Right, phone gets turned off.
Keep going. Keep going.
But if you look at Liverpool, right, and I agree with you, Fabinho is an ideal six. He's six. He's one of the best in the world at it. He doesn't have a lot of pace, but he reads the game better than a lot of people do. But if you look at, right, Henderson is the one that plays on the right, the tree, and he covers for Trent Alexander-Arnold an awful lot, and he allows him to get forward. Why? Because he understands his role, but he also understands the attacking threat that Trent brings with his assists, his goals and whatever. And Jurgen has found the balance. And if you look at it, that's why a lot of people say when Henderson doesn't play, you notice there's a massive unbalance in their side. Yeah. And that's a huge part. And at the moment, United, it's almost as if they're 11 individual players trying to worry about their own jobs, but they're not kind of contributing to the team together. Like Man City are exceptional at doing it. When somebody loses possession, they all get together. They, you know, they all close up, they shorten up the pitch and they win the ball back high up in good areas. Whereas United, it was a prime example. I can't remember what game it was. Owen, you might remember, was there was that one where, you know, they had three or four players pressing individually and they just got picked off. I think it was the Liverpool one where they got clean 5-0. But they were pressing individually. Now, Kenny, you and I both know that if you press on your own, you're just going to get popped off. At this level, the players are too good. You know, you have to be organised. You have to be structured. There has to be a trigger. That usually comes from the nine. He's the one who starts the press. But he looks back to say, right, I'm going. This is stuff you've worked on in training. Yeah. That, you know, there are triggers, right? Whether it be we're going to leave the ball go to the left side of centre-half. The nine is going to shape his run, the arc him wide. And then the entire team shoves him into that corner. And obviously they look to win possession. That's a massive thing United don't have either. They're kind of pressing in ones and twos.
Can I just ask here, before we kind of wrap up this section of the conversation, and I know you've already touched on it, David, but just how that differs to the best teams in Europe at the moment in terms of how they utilise their midfield and their relationship with the centre-back. Because, yes, it does feel that, say, Manchester City have had two advanced eights and a number six, but it does feel as if their eights give more of a dig out than, say, Pogba or Bruno would in your sort of next season idea there, David? And especially with Liverpool, like when you factor Jordan Henderson into proceedings beside Fabinho. So even if they do have that Declan Rice figure at number six, do you still not need more from the likes of a Bruno and a Pogba in that midfield?
No, 100% you do.
Absolutely.
No, yeah, 100% you do. We're in the day and age in this modern game, you can't afford to carry any player. You look at the work, you know, Raheem Sterling does. You look at the work Salah does, Mane does. Even Chelsea, you know, it's been well highlighted, you know, obviously with Lukaku, that he's not putting in the work in. But all the best players, they put the graft in. They're all covering the distances, you know. They're getting back into position. They're getting, you know, they're making their team solid. And that's a huge thing at the moment United aren't doing. You know, you can highlight, there's been a massive thing. Can Cristiano Ronaldo press? Of course he can press. But the idea is the structure has to be right behind the press. If Cristiano does press, you have your 8s and 10s that go with them. You've got your 7-11 and your wingers that are pushing up with them. But at the moment, United aren't doing that. They're a bit all over the place in terms of their pressing. And they're just getting picked off. And then, as what we touched on, then your defenders are being isolated. And at the moment, they're not dealing with situations. And that's a massive problem for them.
David, talking about recruitment, bad recruitment, Liverpool not really in that category whatsoever. I mean, if you look at the early signs of Luis Diaz, for example, it looks like he's going to be somebody who slots straight into this team. I assume you'd be quite confident of them progressing against a tricky Inter Milan set of ties?
I'd be confident. Certainly, the good thing for Liverpool is the second leg is at Anfield, and we all know what Anfield's like on a European night. You know, it's obviously going to be a tough game. Inter have obviously gone through massive change after winning, you know, the league title, obviously with Conte leaving. But certainly Liverpool, are they're in a good place. What I love to see is, you know, obviously after the African Cup of Nations, you've Salah's on the phone the following morning and say, look, I'm fit and available for the next game. I'm flying straight back. I don't need rest. I want to get myself back in. Of course, he's got his own individual targets with the top goal scorer. You know, he feels that Liverpool can win the Premier League. They can catch Manchester City. He feels that they can win the Champions League. Of course, then you look at Mane. Obviously, he has that, you know, a huge week scoring the winning penalty. But then he's back and he's starting at the weekend. You know, that's kind of where Liverpool are, you know, where Liverpool are at. Everything is kind of going in the right direction. You've seen the signing of Luis Diaz. He's been very impressive. Obviously, Harvey Elliott coming back. I think it was the other day. It was the first time that Jurgen's had a full fit 11, a full foot squad to pick 11 from in a long time, which is only a massive, you know, massive plus, because the game's going to come thick and fast. Liverpool will want to continue this form of Champions League. They'll want to go and win it. Of course, you know, the 9 points behind City with the game in hand, they'll want to win that. They play City, I think it's in April. So they're massive games. And obviously he needs a full fit squad that he can rotate. And, you know, Luis Diaz looks, you know, the signs early on are that he'll fit straight in. He'll be like another Diogo Jota, that kind of player, which is obviously massive, because Liverpool have never really had that backup for Mane and Salah. Now these two, like you look at Firmino, he's kind of in and out of the team when he was always a mainstay, but that's, you know, down to the form of Jota. So it's great to see that Liverpool do have these 5-6 options up in the front three places. Obviously, competition is always healthy for a squad.
David, do you want me last question? You spoke about Liverpool's front three. Let me talk about Liverpool's midfield three. I won't ask you who's your preferred three. You're talking about the options they have now in up top in the central midfield, getting players back from injury, which augurs well for the second half of the season. But with these big crucial games come around, the Manchester City game in particular, looking as if it's going to be a must-win game. Who's your three in midfield in that kind of V-shaped? Fabinho, I'm guessing, at the pivot, as we spoke with Jordan Henderson, that right side today. Who, I'm always interested in asking Liverpool supporters, who's your third midfielder? Who goes in? Who's your preference to go in alongside those two players? Who best complements them and best complements that kind of high press, high energy Liverpool style of play?
I'd probably go with Thiago, just for that extra bit of quality that he has over Henderson in terms of unlocking defences. His ability, you know, with the 1-2s, that kind of, like, you know, that eye of a pass, he can see the pass, he can obviously pull off the pass. I think those three complement each other very well. I think that's Liverpool's best three.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Thiago's the last person I pick, to be honest with you, in Liverpool's midfield, probably for the for the reasons that you've said. I take your point. Well, I take your point in terms of the technical qualities. He's probably the most technical player in there. But for me, and it's interesting in terms of what we're talking about United in terms of high press, energy levels and kind of balancing the team. But for me, he actually unbalances Liverpool in that central midfield. His lack of speed, his lack of mobility, his lack of defensive astuteness, for me, is actually a small weakness in the Liverpool team. And I take your point, that's counteracted by the qualities which he has in possession. And that's the point, that's the interesting argument with Thiago. People will see it differently. David will look at those qualities and say, yeah, he gets into the team because of that. I look from the opposite point of view in terms of those defensive qualities which he hasn't got, and say that's why he doesn't get into my Liverpool team. But I think that's a really interesting one going forward for Liverpool.
Yeah.
In terms of like the personality of the team, that high intensity play, high energy play, which has got them this success for so long. David, do they kind of veer away from that? Harvey Elliott coming in, you know, he's not in the same mould as Henderson, isn't he, in terms of physical specimen athlete? Again, more of a technical player, more of a stylish central midfield player. Maybe Curtis Jones to a certain extent as well. But that would be interesting
Thiago,
for me.
Just on Thiago, Kenny, like, do you agree with what Kenny is saying there, David, or is he right, but you would actually just take into account those weaknesses and still start him given his teammates?
No, I agree with, I agree with Kenny. There's been several times when Thiago has played, he's gone to get the ball off the back four and he's tried to be, you know, a bit expansive, and he's ended up giving away the ball. He's given away a couple of needless free kicks on the edge of the box, the odd penalty here and there. I definitely think, you know, him as a six out and right, I wouldn't feel as confident as Fabinho or Henderson. That's why I would play him more advanced. I get Kenny's point. He doesn't have that tactical awareness. But a lot of it does come down to your opposition. You know, you look at Thiago, obviously he's had, you know, a wonderful career with Barcelona. Like, obviously he'd been a young pup playing on that side, but Bayern Munich certainly playing that six. They dominated 99% of their games in terms of possession, so it was easy for him to play. Now, I know the Premier League's off different. Like, if we look at, like, Liverpool going to Milan tomorrow and playing in that game, does Jurgen go with them? No, I wouldn't be surprised if Jurgen probably played, and I genuinely mean this, he probably played Fabinho, Henderson and Milner. Try to get three workhorses in there. Fabinho kind of sitting there like a dog owner holding the two dogs on a leash, like letting them go win here, there and everywhere, just to create that work ethic, that drive, yeah, that, you know,
that
desire.
Defensive barrier, yeah. I know what you're saying, yeah.
It's, a lot of it will come down as well to opposition and what, you know, if you're playing home or away, how good, like when it comes to Man City, what way will Jurgen go then? Like the front three kind of pick itself. You know,
but there's good options there, David. I will say that he's got good options there now, Klopp, in terms of that central midfield and forward area. He's players with different qualities, you know what I mean? We're talking, you know, technical abilities, great athletes. And I think David's right. A lot of them, some of them might come down to in terms of quality of the opposition, you know, what's their strength. Well, you might actually think, I need that little bit more creative edge in central midfield against this. I'm a big fan of this Inter Milan team, particularly defensively. I think their back three, if you can get Bastoni, De Vrij and Skriniar on the pitch, that's as good a defensive unit as you're going to get across Europe. So you might have a look at that and the bit of screen they have in front to think, you know, I need that little bit more of a creative edge in that central area of the pitch, and that might get Thiago the nod for the game. You know, it could come down to that.
And the thing is, I mean, as David pointed out there as well, the bill of health is looking good for Liverpool as well at a really important time of the season. Fighting on two fronts, though, I don't think any Liverpool fan is giving up on the chase on Manchester City just yet either. David, great chat this morning. Thanks a million for hopping on the call.
Cheers, lads. Don't be a stranger, David. You got me number.
Hey, Kenny,
you got me number. You lost it.
I was talking to Delaney the other day. He said you're ringing him all the time. You know what I mean?
John Delaney. Oh, we've got a scoop here. Oh, we've got a scoop.
No, Damien Delaney.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
He says, Damien says you're always on to him, pestering him.
It's a good lad, Damien. He drops you an occasional text, Damien. How's it going?
You dropped the more than occasional
nice
text.
Lad, nice lad, Damien. Nice lad. I like Damien.
Yeah, yeah. They're all good from Cork. David, great stuff. Cheers. Take care.
See you later. Bye.
Plenty of reaction to that chat there. Really good breakdown of the midfield and the defence of both Manchester United and Liverpool. In Bodwe Trust 13 says, no mention of the fact that De Gea simply doesn't play as a sweeper keeper and refuses to come off his line. Maybe definitely an element of that in the conversation here as well. Mark says, doubt there will be a queue lining up to sign Maguire. So not easy to just get rid of him, which is definitely a fair point. They'll want to get a bit of return on their investment. Seamus says, Declan Rice is too expensive. Get Youri Tielemans. the contract is running down. Stephen says, the volume of bass Kenny made by banging the table earlier, we thought we hit a badger on the road, LOL. So did I, Stephen. I thought we hit a badger on the road here as well. But good, good to hit a bit of bass for us. One other, there's a lot of different questions here, but one I wanted to just put to you from Dublin Souls. Does Kenny do Wordle? He let today's one slip out. It sounded very deliberate.
Sorry, what?
I think that's your answer. Have you heard of Wordle?
No.
So Wordle is a word game, which is a daily game where every day you get the opportunity to guess a new five-letter word.
It has to be a word.
It has to be a word.
It's not a made-up word.
No, it's always
countdown,
a real word.
So like a bit of a countdown thing, jumble letters.
So you have six attempts to get the word. And when you type in a word...
Oh, and I'm like... I'm overcooking him, my brains.
So am I. It will tell you whether or not the letter is correct, whether or not it's in the right place, or whether or not it's totally wrong. And then you've got six attempts to get it. That's the succinct and very not at all clear.
Got to know your players. As you say in football, you've got to know your players.
Yeah, I really do. The answer to your question, dear listener, is no. Kenny does not play Wordle, and he accidentally let this morning's one slip out.
OTB AM with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.